Hey, you guys know we are in our missions month, and so we've had two Sundays already where we focused on missions. We had our International Student Sunday, and that was to emphasize that every student welcomes international students. And last week, what did we do? Anybody remember? We prayed. Every student, every alumni, every person prays. And our missionaries need our prayers, and we presented our different missionary families. I thought that went really well, by the way. I'd like to hear from you guys later, but I thought it was good just to do something, you know, different than the typical service. But and I know it was really different where we didn't have a sermon. Nonetheless, I thought it was really powerful to get together in groups and to intercede. And we need to pray, guys. Our missionaries need it. And so every student welcomes, every student prays. And today we're talking about every student gives. And so, you know, we need to pray, but we need to give too. And so that means we're talking about money. And money, it you know, this can be awkward to talk about money anytime, right? Have you noticed that? Like, a lot of times even in the family, it's weird when people talk about money. Anybody understand that? Family talks about money, it's kind of weird. It can be really weird when you talk about it in church. And so, you know, if you're uncomfortable, sorry about that. I hope you won't be by the end, because we're going to talk about money, and we're going to talk about giving to missions. And but really, this is so much more than about money. This is way more than, I'm not just trying to get you to make a pledge to our missions fund so that we can support missionaries. I want to see you guys become fully developed, properly formed disciples of Jesus. And that means that you need to understand how a disciple of Jesus handles money, right? Because how you make money, how you spend money, how you save, how you give, how you waste, all of this says a lot about you and about me, right? Money is a big thing. I mean, it's something we don't like to talk about, and it can be kind of awkward, but man, it's probably something you think about or use almost every day. Am I right? I mean, it's a part of your life, isn't it? So in the church, we need to deal with this and understand, as a disciple of Jesus, as a properly formed Christian, how do I use money? You know, there's really, when you think about it, there's two primary resources that we spend every day. The first is money. And the other one is time. And we don't all have equal amounts of money, but we all have the same time. I know this is deep, isn't it? You got to think about, what's he talking about? Yeah, that's right, right? So you know, you might look at other people and think, oh, I wish I had as much money as them. But you have just as much time. Nobody has more time than you. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I want you to understand this really important point. The way I spend my time demonstrates my value system. See, what I spend my time on shows what I really value, okay? So if I follow you around for a week and I watch you every minute of the day, that sounds creepy, doesn't it? I wouldn't do that. If my voice was good, I'd start singing Synchronicity, a police song, but every move you make, stuff like that. You don't understand. It's way before your time. But if we were able to track you for a week and watch how you spend your time, and somebody showed me the printout of it, I'd say, okay, I got a really good idea of what you value, right? Because, and especially your free time. You know, like you're saying, well, you'd see me in class and I don't like it. Okay, I get that. But if I could follow you around in your free time, when you're not at work, when you're not in class, and you've just got like 5 hours free, oh man, how do you spend it? You know what you're thinking. And that shows what you value. And the same way with money. If I could see a printout on my laptop of where you spend your money, not on things you have to, right, but on what you want to, I would see what your value system is. Does that make sense? Right? So time and money, how we spend these indicate the kind of Christian we are and who we're becoming. And so many people, I talk about this every year. We do missions every year. And if this seems repetitive to you, I apologize, but you're going to keep hearing it because this is so crucial for you guys to understand how to use money. I want you to know there are so many people that are in a state of stress, chaos, and unsettledness because they don't have financial peace in life. They've never understood how to handle money. They don't know how to use it and how to spend it. And so their life is in chaos all the time. And you can't have a stable life, a peaceful life, if your financial world is in wreck, in chaos. And so why is this? And I don't want to go into it too much, but, you know, I shared this in years past. We live in a super consumeristic world, right? And so our thinking about money is even unconsciously being formed, really I should say malformed, by forces that you might not even know are there. And so, you know, because you've got this situation where I own a company and I build these little gadgets and widgets and I want Sean to buy them, right? So I make my widgets and then I hire these advertisers that are really good at showing Sean that he absolutely needs my widget, right? And so Sean is then, my advertising friends are relentless and they're good. And they study psychology, and they know how to manipulate and how to make you feel like you have to have it. They're really good. They go to school for this. And so then they begin to just bombard him, right, with all these messages constantly that you have to have the Grisco widget. You have to have the Grisco widget. It's the most shiny widget ever. It's the most beautiful. If you don't have it, you won't be like everyone else, blah, 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 right? And then Sean, and so what's happening is in Sean's mind, he is being programmed, informed unconsciously that he needs this. He doesn't even know it. But then he has a problem because he doesn't have enough money. But then I have friends that are bankers, and they're always right there to help. So then I ask my bankers to come. My bankers go, don't worry that you don't have enough money because we have all the money we need. And we can share it with you for a small price. And then the bankers loan Sean money and a big high interest rate that he'll have trouble repaying. But I don't care because I just want him to buy my widget. And I already paid the advertisers and they're happy. And then the bankers get paid over the next 20 years for his widget that cost him $1,000 because of interest. So, you see, why am I bringing this up in church? I want you to understand that when you live in a culture like this, your ideas about money are being profoundly shaped by forces outside of you. And if you're not thinking about it, you just become that person. They literally can make you into who they want you to be. And you're just walking around thinking like they want you to think, and you're not stopping and going, wait, is this biblical? Is this what I'm supposed to do with my money? So, there's a better way. And what can happen is that type of thinking, and let me say this, it's not wrong to have things. So I'm not attempting to say you should not have anything, just give all your money to missions. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. You can have nice things. But you have to be careful that you're not malformed into what becomes a greedy person. Does that make sense? Like, because that's really dangerous. And if you're not careful, you can be malformed to become this person that walks in greed. And a person that walks in greed is never satisfied with what they have. They're never thankful because they lust after more, right? So it's this greed, this desire for more. It's an insatiable lust for more things. And the sad thing is, it will never work. And so, how how do you break this? And again, that's why I said, I want this message and really this whole missions month to be more than just you pledging to missions. I want to see you as a disciple of Jesus growing. And so let's talk about with money. How can you break this spirit of greed? How do you get set free from this? It's by becoming a radical giver, practicing generosity, being a person that gives and enjoys giving and loves giving, and becoming a person so that, and trust me, I've not always been a pastor. I remember being in churches when they were talking about missions and giving money, and I'm thinking, well, here we go again. They want more money, right? I've thought these things. I mean, you never would think this. But how do you become, how do I break out of that? By on missions month, you think, yes, missions. God, what do you want me to give? I want to reach the lost. I want to be the hand, not the tail. I want to be the head. I want to be the giver, the blesser. When you begin to step out in generosity and begin to practice this on a regular basis, it breaks that power of greed. Because greed takes and hoards, right? And generosity lends and gives out of love. And so what we're going to do today, and I'm really excited about this, we're going to have testimonies. I have three H2O members coming on up, not yet, but in just a minute, that are going to share kind of their journey in tithing and also in missions giving. Really looking forward to that. And then I'm going to look at some scriptures with you specifically on tithing and missions giving. But before we do that, general passages, I want you to write these down in your phone if you can. You can look them up if you want. But I want to present to you a different financial model, which is a model that's rooted and grounded in generosity. And we find this throughout the scriptures, but especially in Proverbs. Proverbs 11:25. Okay, let's look at this. Proverbs 11:25 says this. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. And you may not be able to write down all these verses, but just the location, if you want to go back and look at them in your own devotions. This is Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Ooh, I love that part about the grain. Proverbs 22:7. Oh, what you think I was thinking, Elliot? Come on. Proverbs 22:7. Just, and this is really powerful. Just let this sink in, college students, alumni, think about this. Just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is the servant, or some translations, the slave of the lender. Right? Just as the rich rule over the poor, the one who borrows the money becomes a slave to the one who lends it. And then Proverbs 19:17. If you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. If you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. So let me be clear just again what we teach in H2O, because people can take teaching to one extreme about money and two extremes. And I don't want you to think that we are teaching you can't have good things, you can't have nice things. That's not what I'm saying. But the highest purpose of our life is not the accumulation of more stuff, but the expansion of the kingdom. And as a result of the expansion of the kingdom through our wealth and our finances, a consequence that I've seen many times over is more and more is given, and I have more and more to share. So I want you to understand this balance. Does that make sense? It's okay to have great things. It's wonderful, but it's not the end. It's a means to bless others, to bless yourself, your children. It's amazing. So I wanted to bring three H2O members up that I've observed the joy of giving in all of them. And so I'm going to have Brooke come on up. And come on up, Brooke. Nancy and Andrew, come on up. And what I'm going to do is, and thanks, by the way, for helping. I appreciate that, Brooke, for your willingness to come up. Thanks, Andrew and Nancy. Love these guys. So I'm going to have, and I'll just ask a question then hand the mic to you guys. I'm going to have this wonderful family here talk about tithing. Okay, so that's Nancy and Andrew. And then, Brooke, we're going to have you talk about missions, giving, and faith promises. And I wrote down some questions in advance and gave them to them. My first question was, when did you first hear about tithing? I know one of you guys is going to take that.
Yeah. So I first heard about tithing when I was in high school. My mother is a staunch Catholic. And when she joined the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, which I heard also caught on in Ann Arbor at some point, decades ago, she started teaching me about tithing. And so I was in a boarding school. She would give me pocket money, and I would tithe that. It was very little, but yeah. That's when the seed was sown.
Wait, so you would try to tithe on the pocket money she gave you? Wow. All right. Any students, anybody here feel like they only have pocket money? All right. Sorry. That's not very encouraging. They're like, we're overflowing with wealth. All right. The next question I wanted to ask is, why do you tithe? Okay, then let me skip, and then I'm going to go to I can't skip because this is in line, so I'll let you answer it.
So I'm going to answer the first two, and Nancy will answer the last two. We tithe as a family, first in obedience to God, because the Bible says that a tenth of everything that we earn belongs to God. So when you tithe, you're actually not giving money to God, you're giving him what already belongs to him. Then the second reason is, Nancy just reminded me this morning, actually, that giving is an act of worship to God. So the way you give of your time and you praise him, raise your hands, giving is an act of worship. And it's not very simple, at least for most people. So that's the second reason why we do it. And the third is, in Malachi, there's no other place in the Bible where God says, test me in this. No other place that I've found, at least. In my 30 or so years of reading the Bible, it's only a place where he says, test me in this. Yeah, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven upon your lives. I'll protect your crops from the devourer and the like. And so you should read it. It's pretty cool. And so for financial blessing and protection upon our family, it goes beyond just money. It also goes to our jobs and our families, etc. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thanks, Andrew. Okay, I wanted to ask you guys, if you have, I'm sure you have a lot, but just maybe one testimony of how God has been faithful to you in response to your tithing.
So at the beginning of this academic year, I received a $35,000 fellowship that was supposed to be a contribution towards my salary for the year. And all my boss had to do was just top up on that to give me, the required salary for a research fellow in our department. And so one morning, I didn't know how the money would be dispersed out to me through the year, but it turned out that the organization that gave me the money split it into two checks. So one morning, we get up and our account had gone from, I don't know, $500 to like $18,000. And and I mean, Andrew being the, tithe police in our family, signed the, $1,750 check, and, to H2O. And during that same period, Andrew and I had been talking about this project that we really wanted to do, and we didn't have the money for it. And when this money came, we're like, okay, we really need to put all this money into that project. So we did. We, got the project done. It was a success. But we were short a whole month's salary, right, for all the remaining months, through December. And at that same time, I was talking to my boss about a raise. He said he didn't have money for that. And I was kind of disappointed because, you know, I'd taken on more responsibility in my group as, you know, doing all these projects that had nothing to do with, you know, the fellowship money that I'd received. So I was kind of disappointed. But it turns out that unbeknownst to me, my boss decided that all the additional work I was doing was worth a full salary, you know, the full salary that he was originally giving me. So instead of just topping up the $30,000 to give me the required salary for a research fellow in my department, he decided to just consider that as a bonus on top of, you know, the salary he would, you know, give me. So basically, I've been earning two whole paychecks through this whole period. But that was, I feel like that was God being faithful, because we were faithful with this, you know, $17,500 check that was placed in our bank account. So, yeah.
I didn't talk about this, but in not trying to make you feel awkward, but you received a promotion recently, right?
It's
15% increase. And so the reason I'm saying this is God is looking for people that will serve as like a conduit through which he can flow blessing. Does that make sense? So like he's just searching the earth. Like if he's like Nino and Tammy, oh, it's like a stuffed up clog. I can't get any water through them. Now, that's not how we've lived. We've tried to practice generosity for 30 years. We love being generous. But if you will practice this, God will say, well, just watch what happens. It's amazing. All right, one last question. What would you say to someone, Nancy, you're going to take this? Okay, so what would you say to someone who is finding it difficult to tithe? Because I realize it is hard. You realize that. It's very scary. I understand.
So I'll tell you, one, that morning when we woke up and our account had like $18,000 in it, the first thoughts that came to my mind were like, well, you know, are we actually going to sign off $1,750? Because, I mean, there is always a lot that you can use that money for, right? I mean, it's not like we didn't need it. There's certain things that we would have spent on it, right? But I thank God for my husband because of the way he was brought up. He doesn't think about that, you know. Like for him, it's 10%. That's it. Like no questions asked. That's God's money. That's not ours. So it was a struggle for me. But I couldn't even tell Andrew about it because like he was not gonna listen to me. Like he's the tithe police. So it's hard. So if you're what I would say to you if you're struggling with tithing is, how big of a harvest do you want? You see, you can keep the 100%, but that's all you've got. That's all you will have. God will multiply the 90%. You know, by giving God 10% and keeping 90%, it doesn't mean you don't need the 10%. But God will multiply it. God will multiply the 90%, you know? So how you can keep your 100%, but just know that's all you will have. And if your excuse to not tithe right now is that you have too little, I'm telling you, if you cannot tithe on $100, it's going to be really hard to tithe on $10,000. You know, we like to think, oh, it will be easy to sign off $1,000 when I have $10,000. No, it will not. You will struggle. It's harder to do it. It's harder to do it. And there is something to say about being faithful in the little. The Bible says that. God is testing you with that little, you know, allowance that your parents are giving you. He's testing you in that, you know. After you leave Michigan, you're going to be receiving, you know, checks in your bank accounts of, you know, $5,000, $10,000. If God cannot trust you with $1,000 right now, with $100, he will not trust you with $10,000. So just think about that. But you see, God does not, it's not that God needs this money. You know, God is going to build his kingdom with or without you. He will. He will. But can he trust you? Can he trust you with the resources that he's giving you?
Yeah, I was going to say one more thing. And just to supplement that, we think about where we want to go and where we are, and then all of a sudden 10% of what we're getting now is nothing. Like, it's in the grand scheme of things, it's not very much. When I was in high school, 10% of what I was earning was, I don't know, couldn't even get you a McDonald's burger, I guess. But right, but God has kept on increasing us. And even this year, even after that happened with Nancy's, the testimony that Nancy gave, we got a promotion at work. The entire company, because the company was losing people, and so they wanted to incentivize people to stay. So it was significant. Like, it's not what I would have expected, but God multiplied it tenfold, right? Like, it's, so where do you want to go? Think 20 years from now, where do you want to be? If you still want to be where you are, you keep your money. But if you really want to go much farther ahead, I think you should be faithful in giving.
Yeah, thanks. And it's true. It's all about perspective. So when I was an intern with our ministry, my total monthly income was $600. And I started tithing, and that was very hard for me. But then I realized I don't have to do it. I get to do it. I would take $60 every month, and I would get out my guitar, and I would worship God. I would write a check, and I'd throw it on the ground before God, and I'd say, it's yours, not mine. I would worship the Lord with my tithe, like he's instructed us to do. Because if you have that perspective, when you have $6,000, you don't like, oh, I don't know if I can give $600. You go, I get to give $600 now. Catch me on this. What about when you have $600,000? 6 million. I get to give 600,000. That's what I want. Amen. Like, I want to be able to do it, not to just like, oh, I don't want to do it. Because they're right, man. If you find it hard to tithe on 100, oh, man, look out for 10,000. There's too many things you could buy. So in H2O, we have two primary ways that we train you to give. One is tithing, that you guys have done a great job. We also have something called faith promises. This is giving above and beyond your tithe. This is to missionaries, right, and to the poor. And so that's what this month is all about. We're trying to raise support for our missionaries. And Brooke is, I noticed that you get it. Like, I noticed even as a freshman that you understood the joy of giving. You've been trained in this, I could tell. Is that pretty accurate? Yeah, I think so. I just watched you, and I was like, this is amazing. Like, Brooke gets this. And so I've got some questions for you, and Brooke's going to talk about faith promise giving, okay? We're moving beyond tithe. When did you hear about missions giving? We'd like to hear your story.
I kind of grew up knowing about missions. I went on my first mission trip when I was 6, so it was kind of ingrained in me that missions was important in my life, and it was something that I was really passionate about and wanted to support. But I really started to take charge of that when I came to college. So I didn't give regularly to missions until my freshman year last year. Here and there I would give in high school, but last year is when I really committed to giving from my own income and making it a priority.
It was a part of your upbringing then, so you saw that modeled. Yeah, that's amazing. Let me look here. Let's see what questions. Oh, this is good. So, okay, you're a student. You're spending money, and your income is obviously limited, right? So why do you choose to give faith promise every month when you're in a place where your income is limited?
Yeah, so the Bible talks about people being sent and people giving to those being sent. And I want to get to a place where I'm the one being sent, but right now I'm not. So I want to give and support those that are being sent right now, because I know that someday people will be giving to send me. But also it's just a joy to take part in the kingdom and to know that I'm having an eternal impact on people in another nation that I may never know. But there's just such a joy in knowing that the only thing we can take with us to heaven is people, and I'm investing in people that I may never meet, but that I get to take part in that and see the fruit from that possibly someday when I get to heaven and meet them.
The only thing we can bring to heaven is people. Okay, time for the altar call. I don't need to speak anymore. It's time for you guys to pray. Let's see. Do you? Okay, this is good. I'm sure some alumni and students here want to know, If you have a testimony of anything that God has been faithful for you in response to your giving, I can't wait to hear this.
I have a lot, and I don't like to talk about like income or scholarships or anything like that, but it is a testimony to his goodness. So I have been debt-free since I've been here. He's completely covered all of my tuition, all of my room and board, and I have not paid anything out of pocket since I've been here. So that's one testimony of his goodness, because we all know the cost of this university, and I could never pay for that on my own. But also, as I've been faithful in giving just in this past year and a half that I've been here, I started with just a $9 an hour job at the Children's Center on North Campus, and around November last year, so about a year ago, I was blessed with another job babysitting, and I didn't expect to get a ton of money from it, but they offered to pay me $20 an hour. So I've watched as he's trusted me with more. So it's just been a major, major blessing, and I've just watched as I've been faithful, he's been faithful to me and trusted me with more than I could have ever imagined as a sophomore in college. So,
yeah, that is God's provision for you, and I understand that it's a little awkward to talk about it, and I know you're not bragging, and I hope that all of us here are excited for Brooke. You know, like, students are like, man, she's debt-free, I wished I was. Listen, then you're missing it if you're thinking that. What I want you to take out of this is, how can I give? How can I be a giver? How can I be more generous? You see what I mean? God will bless you. I promise you. My wife will tell you, our life is, it's a mystery financially where we are. My dad doesn't understand it one bit. So it's just, but we've been honest with God, and from the get-go, we said, we're gonna give. We love to give. And then one last question for Brooke. Appreciate you sharing. What do you say to other students that obviously have limited money like you? You know, I mean, I know it's great that you're getting paid that job. You didn't have that job last year, and you were giving faith promises. So what do you say to encourage somebody like that?
I would just say, as little as it is that you can give, like, he can multiply that. And like we were talking about, like, test him in your giving and watch how he blesses you and trusts you with more. But also just what I was talking about earlier, like, there's nothing better that we could invest in than people. We can't take anything else with us except people. So there's nothing better that we could invest our money into. So it's really a privilege that we get to invest in the kingdom and take part in that as humans that are flawed and broken and undeserving. So
that's good. That's true. Thanks, Brooke. All right. Can we just give everybody a round of applause? Thanks, Brooke. Thanks, Nancy and Andrew. Appreciate you guys. Great, great job. Seriously, like, great job. And more powerful than what you have said is the fact that you're living it. So thank you for being an example. Okay. Thank you for being an example we can follow. And it's inspirational. So let me close. I want to give just a little theological foundation for missions giving, okay? So we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 9. Just take about 10 minutes with you is all, but I want to encourage you to read this on your own. Open up the Bible this week, because next Sunday we're going to make our faith promises. So we have missionaries coming, and they're going to share their heart, and then we're going to make, if you've already, let's say you're giving a certain amount, you can renew that and give that. You could increase that, whatever God's putting on your heart. That's for you. But I want you to have a proper theological foundation for why we do this, and that's what I want to do. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 11. This is called sowing and reaping, and the Apostle Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth about giving. This is not tithing here. This is specifically here. He's talking about giving to the poor, which also is above and beyond the tithe. Verse 6, Paul says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Okay, time out. I want to just bring some clarification. I am not in any way trying to like insult your intelligence by saying this, but I realize we're not an agricultural world anymore. So any of you grow up farming? Okay, Andrew and Elliot. Okay. So you probably understand this, but in case anybody doesn't, this sowing simply means planting, okay? So he's talking, he's using an agricultural analogy of planting seed in the ground. And so just want you to understand this. So keep in mind a seed, okay? Keep that in mind when we read this. So he's saying those that sow or plant sparingly will reap sparingly. Those that sow generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed. He will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Here's the point. There's a lot there, but let me just bring this home. When God entrusts you with money, some of that money is seed for sowing. The problem is that most of us, in not just America, but in the whole world, I'm sure this is an issue. When we're given money, we think it's all bread to be eaten. And so we eat everything. And you fail to realize that a farmer that eats all his bread and a farmer that eats all of his vegetables, including the seeds, is going to die the next year because he hasn't planted anything. And so you have to realize that when God entrusts you with a bonus, a blessing, a paycheck, any way you get anything, wealth, some of that money is to be set aside as seed for planting into the harvest, okay? And let's look at this really importantly here. This first, in verse 6, Paul says, those that sow sparingly will reap sparingly, and those that sow generously will reap generously. This isn't really complicated, right? I mean, so if Elliot's family is wanting to farm 50 acres, that's going to take a lot of seed, right? And they're going to hit. Now, it's going to be great when the crops come in. He's going to have a huge harvest. But they have to plant a lot of seed to have 50 acres of crops. Now, this is all Paul is saying here. Financially, if you want a big harvest, you have to plant a lot of seed. And if you want a small harvest, plant a little seed. If you want no harvest, then plant no seed. And the same principle of sowing and reaping that applies to agriculture applies financially for you and your giving and honoring God this way. And Paul understands what we've been trying to talk about. God loves a cheerful giver. You know, and I've attempted to get this across to you. God, it's not I have to tithe, I have to make a faith promise. It's I get to tithe. I get to. God is looking all over the earth for generous, cheerful givers. The amazing thing about this passage, when you look in the Greek, the word that we translate as cheerful is, I can't pronounce it, I think it's like halasmos or something. It means basically, literally, hilarious. So think about this. Don't give reluctantly or under compulsion. God loves a hilarious giver. Like, you're just like this. You're like, God, this is crazy. This is hilarious. I don't know why I'm doing this, but $1,700. God, this is hilarious. I'm making this faith promise, and I don't know why I'm doing it, but it's hilarious. Boom. It's like, but you're not stingy. You're not greedy. You're not mad at God. Oh, Pastor Nino told me I had to. If that's your heart, do not give. Okay? Don't do that. God wants, but don't use the wrong heart as an excuse to be greedy either. You got to wrestle with God on this one. But what I'm trying to tell you is, like, I want you to be a hilarious giver. Just give so. And this is, Tammy and I, we have found this so true, haven't we? I mean, God has provided seed for us to sow, and he's provided bread for us to eat. And the more we sow, the more bread we seem to have. It's crazy. It's weird. I mean, it's like, if you need a car, you got an old junky car, and you're like, oh, man, my car doesn't work, and I just never gets me around, and, you know, it's just a terrible car. Maybe what you need to do instead of thinking about how to save money and how you're going to get a new one is pray, God, should I give my car or sell it for $500 and give that away? Right? See, it's a different way of thinking. Instead of coming from a place of lack, come from a place of abundance. I mean, you might have a car that nobody would want. It wouldn't be a blessing, so don't give that to anybody. But you understand the principle. If you want something you need, maybe you need to ask God, what do I need to give? What are you doing in my heart? Making me into a generous man, into a generous woman that comes with hands outstretched at all times to the poor and to missionaries. So anyway, this has been a good Sunday. I hope it's got you thinking, getting you ready for next week. I really want us to just bless these missionaries. Can we do that together? Let's pray for them. We're so honored to have them here. We're going to love on them, pray for them, take them out to eat, financially bless them, and then let's make some faith promises. You guys saw the missionaries last week. We would love to take on more missionaries. And I can promise you, there are missionaries talking to me all the time. They would love us to support them. Isn't that true, Cindy? I mean, there's a list of 10 missionaries we could support more, guys, seriously, that are doing great work. I mean, awesome things for God. And so we're ready. It's just the way I run a budget is I don't want to overstretch. We give what we get, not more. We don't run deficits. So if we want to take on new missionaries, we need more money. And I believe God will do it. And so next week as we come together, let's bless this missionary family. And let's just ask God, what do you want me to do? How should we give, Lord? What are you calling us to? And let's enjoy it. Amen. We'll be hilarious givers. Yes, we will. All right, let's stand up together. Again, thanks, Brooke, Nancy, Andrew, man, amazing. Like, you guys hit it out of the park. It's just awesome to have you up here. Appreciate it.